So is this going to be just the two of us?
We can make it if we try.
Just the two of us?
Just the two of us, you and I.
Oh.
Welcome to episode number 155 of Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This, a podcast about video games. My name is Cole Ross, and I am joined via Skype tonight by...
Ben Merkel.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ben, for joining me here. It makes no sense for me to say tonight because you could be listening to this at any time of day, but just we record it at night. So just try and put yourself in a time and a place.
Is this going to be the episode where you reveal that you have multiple personalities?
What?
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I think maybe.
We are so happy to see you and hear you.
We hope you stay forever. Oh man, so what do we have in store for tonight? I've got one kind of thing that I'm gonna talk about, and then what we've been playing. Mm-hmm. And then you have kind of a smorgasbord, a sampler play.
Yeah, we'll do a little smorgasbord. We'll do a little bit of E3 catch up for Ben.
Oh so. Yeah. You can because you probably have more of a holistic view of it than I did, because I had to stop following the news on it after we talked about it last week because I got really sad.
Oh.
So yeah. So we'll get your catch up opinions. Okay. During the What's On Your Mind segment towards the end.
Okay.
I'm going to jump right in with mine, just because I haven't played all of it, but I want to offer my first impressions.
Okay.
And I want to say that the Walking Dead game for PC, and I think it's also on PS3 and Xbox 360, their download services,
mm-hmm.
really, really good.
And this is the first one, right?
This is episode one.
Just announced the second one, right? That's not out yet.
Yeah, that's not out yet. But like, if you buy it on Steam, you get access to the whole season as it comes out.
Okay.
So it's $25, which I think is like probably the cheapest that a Telltale joint has come out at.
Okay.
For pre-ordering the whole thing. Like, I bought the entire Strong Bad. Cool game for attractive people. That was like $30. So this is definitely pretty cheap for what you get, which is a really, really well produced, well written, and probably I'd probably say one of the more complex adventure games that I've played in the past while.
Okay. So first of all, the question: what do you get with this $25? So you get the first installment, the second installment coming up, and how long does it go on for?
I think it's 5 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and each episode is about like 2.5 hours long.
Okay.
Which, you know, just $5 for 2.5 hours of entertainment. That's not bad. You know,
that's
especially if
good.
It's there's a lot of like replay value to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna come out and say my stance on zombie stuff is well known. I'm normally against it, but this game was tempting enough because of its systems that I had to go and take a dive for it. I haven't watched the TV show, and I haven't read the comics. Was that your question?
No, my question was, did you play Dead Rising 2?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Continue.
Okay. Yeah. So I came into this basically knowing very little about Walking Dead as it is, like, you know, so I'm not coming to it with maybe some biases that people who like the TV show are. This is like my first first experience with the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing is, like, you see, you're playing as a guy named Lee who is being escorted to prison mm-hmm. for a crime. I think that he's being sentenced to, you know, life for killing his wife. And this is down in Atlanta. I think all of Walking Dead takes place in the South. And obviously zombie outbreak, there's a car crash because zombies out in the middle of the road. And then it's you escaping from that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like right away, like your first thing that you do is you wander into a house and you find a young girl whose parents are in Savannah, Georgia. And probably succumbed to the outbreak, and you basically vow to protect her, or, you know, you can keep her along. And all the other people that you meet, you know, they'll remember kind of like how you treat her, and she'll remember how you treat her, and like everything will branch based on the decisions that you make. So you can lie and say like, "Oh, I'm her father," but you have to be consistent with that, and other people will bring it up in at like a really inconsistent time. Or you can lie about like, you know, how you got your, you know, that leg injury that you have that makes you, you know, walk like a zombie for the first part of the game, and then like there will be inconsistencies that are created like that. And it can even be like as granular as like if you turn on certain interface elements, there will be a little tooltip at the top that says like, you know, so and so will remember this, Clementine will remember that, you know, Clem will remember that kind of thing.
So now, are you incentivized to lie? Do they make that a better option? Or
I have no idea how it's going to play out, but I love the idea that kind of like, you know, kind of like Mass Effect, they're keeping track and they're really watching everything that you do.
Yeah.
And apparently it carries over in a really kind of like real way. Yeah. The control,
the Sting developer mentality,
Sting developer.
Yeah. Every move you make, Cole.
Sorry. You had to walk me to it, but I eventually got there. The controls could be better. This is like one of the first adventure games that I've played that really, like, I probably should have gotten it on the Xbox 360, to be entirely honest.
Oh, so you have it on PC?
Yeah. I bought it for Mac, you know, for,
my apologies. Sorry.
No, I wanted to make it clear in case anybody was listening, there is a Mac version available, like it, and it runs beautifully. I'm playing it in 720p. It looks great. But it doesn't control that well. Like, you move your guy around with WASD, and you click on things. There are action sequences which, you know, task you with clicking on things before they come at you, so it's kind of like rudimentary Heavy Rain in that way. You've fallen on the floor, and because you have this leg injury, you can't get back up, so you're scrambling backwards, and occasionally it'll prompt you to like kick the zombie that's crawling after you in the face until you get back, and then like the little girl offers you a hammer, and it's like you have to click on the hammer before the zombie gets you, and you know these things play out like that.
Okay.
Those tension is really high. Just the problem is that it doesn't feel like I'm playing it with the optimal, you know, with the optimal setup, I suppose. Like moving with WASD and weird and selecting the actions that you want to do with the mouse wheel is kind of weird, like not terribly intuitive, but I definitely want to see what happens next.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything. Like everything that I've said, like story-wise, is like probably the first 20 minutes. According to Steam, I have played it for about 35 minutes, 40, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So
as a brief digression, I will say that that controllers can sometimes really take advantage of like the feel of a game when you talk about like console versus PC games, with Heavy Rain being an example of like utilizing what you're actually doing to mirror what's happening in the game. That's sometimes something that kind of trumps PC versions of games, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it for the PC because I thought it was, you know, designed for the PC, and I probably should have, you know, like looked up some comparison charts or something like that, you know, kind of because I've played other Telltale games, like I mentioned the strong bad one, and that was very much like a point and click and drag and go here, and the only other interface that I've seen that is like those games have worked better on has been the iPad, where they've been specifically designed for it. Also, the Monkey Island games were really designed for the PC as well.
Now, did they also do the Back to the Future games?
Yes, they did Back to the Future, which is really good. I played the first episode. It's free on iPad. Okay. And they did the Jurassic Park one, which is very bad from what I understand, which is just disappointing.
Is it the same story as the first Jurassic Park?
No, it takes off like right after that leaves.
Okay.
So like it follows what happens to the embryo that's in the Barbasol can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's at least a creative storyline, but that's too bad that.
Yeah. The consensus from the reviews that I read, there's no free version of it available. There's no demo. I don't want to spend the money on it. It's just that it was a real big missed opportunity. like mm-hmm. like you know, Jurassic Park is it's about tension and action to a certain extent, and those aren't things that Telltale up until now has done very well. The tension and action in this it is done well. Like you know, it gets your heart thumping, you know, when a zombie's crawling after you and like you're hobbled, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe they just didn't have their chops up, and that's not the point of this one anyway. The point is, you know, creating this fiction for yourself. Like what's cool in the dialogue, you know, you always have four dialogue options, but silence is always an option.
Okay.
So you can,
how long do you have to choose?
It does give you a certain amount, and depending on how like suspicious the person is, like, you know, if you pause for too long, it'll go to like this, you know, default fifth answer, which is, you know, I've never had it happen to me. So I think that it's just kind of like, oh, the jig's up, or they'll assume the worst.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But you can turn off those tooltips and like, you know, where they say like, oh yeah, this person's suspicious of you or anything like that. You can turn those off. I kind of want to keep them on because like it discourages gaming the system by constantly auto saving. It's kind of like Dark Souls in that regard. Okay. And so you can't like, oh crap, that person got me, and then go back to an earlier save. It just like it always keeps you up to the most recent, you know, success state, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's neat. I definitely recommend it to anybody who likes adventure games. It's probably one of the best adventure games I've played in a good long while. And that's really all that I have been playing. I played like this little student game, like an arty kind of game, because it was mentioned on other podcasts. Those the video game Hot Dog Guys. It's called Souvenir, but it's not finished. So it's really hard to talk about. Like ostensibly it's about like a you know, a young person, a young woman who's leaving home, and you go through this. Have you ever played Psychonauts?
I have it on my computer right now.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a minute.
There's a level in Psychonauts called the Milkman Conspiracy where it's all about like this twisted world geometry. You know, like just you're walking on this corkscrew with this weird gravity, and like you move around by clicking on a surface and gravity orients you to go to that. And the coolest thing about the Souvenir game is that like as you walk around, especially in the first area, but like as you walk around these areas of your hometown that you're leaving, looking for these, you know, these items that you're going to be taking home, you find text that's strewn about the environment in like this really kind of like a kinetic an associative way. So like if you walk to an angle where you can look under the porch, it says like, I remember one summer we found a raccoon living under the house. Or like if you look in your bedroom, you'll keep, like on the wall, it'll say like, some nights I could hear my mom crying on the other side of this wall, dot, dot, dot. And if you walked to the other side, it would say, so I sat down and, you know, stayed there with her for a couple of hours just to keep her company. You know, something like that. So it's supposed to be really emotional, and it is, but it is completely like not finished. Like there's no way to win. The controls are a little bit weird. You can download it for free. It's not like they, you know, rooked me in any way, but it was kind of weird, kind of a weird way to spend some time. When I was on my lunch break today, I bought Diablo 3. And then I realized I have no time to play Diablo 3.
And this is the last podcast from Cole.
No, I've got my priorities, but I haven't
emerged 2 years later.
I've got my priorities. But okay. I wanted something to, I like a loot, you know, loot based game every once in a while. I don't think anything like to my mind. I know it's a bad game. I don't think anything to my mind has risen above Champions of Norrath, which was the game by the Baldur's Gate guys.
I've played that.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. I mean, I got into it because it was EverQuest, but it was basically the Baldur's Gate PS2 games, but set in EQ lore, and that's really, really good. I'm actually kind of sad that I sold it at some point. I wish I had it around. I might look at that on the Rainforest here and see where that's at. But I have it. I'm going to install it eventually here, but, you know, business comes first, and, you know, it'll give me more to talk about on the show. You know, that's how I'm rationalizing it. But other than that, it's really just been, I had to beat a game for a WAF, and I have to edit that monstrosity here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But oh well. So yeah, that's really it for me. How about you? I mean, what's up?
Yeah, so it's been a couple of weeks. The big news is I downloaded Humble Indie Bundle 3. Did you guys talk about this at all last week? Or
we mentioned it and we brought it up.
Okay.
You know, just like as a heads up to people, so they could grab it because the soundtracks are amazing and the games are amazing as well because they'll have this awesome psychological bent.
Yeah. It's okay. Well, we'll talk about that then.
sorry.
Yeah. So I guess the five games that come with it. Oh my goodness. I'm on the website now, and now there's even more.
Yeah, they added more. All of them are good.
They added Lone Survivor, I see.
Yes, they did.
Interesting. All right. Anyway, the original five from last week, which I guess this podcast is immediately outdated. But the five that I got when I purchased it was Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery, Limbo, Amnesia, Psychonauts, and Bastion.
Yeah.
So I was really stoked because I had only played Limbo of those five, and I kind of wanted to play all of them. And so, yeah, Limbo, great game. Everyone should play it if they haven't played it yet. The first game I started playing was Bastion, yep. Which I had heard almost nothing about. The only thing I'd heard about it is I think you talked about it when you played it way back when.
Yeah, I still need to beat it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. I played it pretty solidly for a couple days. Great game, pretty entertaining. You have a narrator who sounds like a cross between you and Sam Elliott.
but that wouldn't stop the kid.
Yeah. And that's pretty much like the charm of the game. I mean, there's a lot of other cool effects too, how the map generates as you walk. That's pretty cool. Like I guess this might be a little bit hard to describe, but you see a background like that's of something that's really far away. And then you're on a platform that's like floating in the sky. And as you walk towards the edges, more platform raises up and then you can walk on it. So it's a pretty cool device.
Yeah. So you're creating the world literally by exploring it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a pretty entertaining game. Haven't beat it yet. Probably will beat it soon. It's
fun. Like the only thing that I like kind of like don't like it. I mean, it's obviously visually arresting and the audio is fantastic. Have you gotten to the build that wall section yet? With the song?
Yes, the song. Yes.
Yeah. God, I helm that song. That's fantastic. But the one thing that I don't like about it is it makes it really, really difficult to change your weapon loadout.
Yeah. That's kind of part of the game is you got to pick your weapon ahead of time and
if you're walking blind into a situation, it's hard to know if you need the repeater or the six shooter or if you need a good melee weapon. So that's like that is a little bit punishing, I think. But
that's why you got to go with your favorite. You got to develop a bond with your gun.
Yeah, like, I suppose.
There's two different guns. There's the. Do you remember the names of the guns?
I forget. Like the 2-6 shooters.
There's those. There's the rusty shotgun or whatever.
Or it's the musket. Yeah, the one. That
That's my favorite gun. But and then there's also like the rifle or whatever. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, they give you like I like you know. I normally get kind of turned off by weapon customization, you know, just because it tends to make things like, you know, unduly complicated. But with Bastion, it does a really good job of keeping it somewhat simple in that you have three upgrade levels and you can choose one or the other. And you're not locked into, you know, like if you pick the right lane, you always have to pick what's on the right. So you can really customize your weapon to how you like to play.
And they do have a fantastic, I guess you could call it an upgrade system, so to say, where after each, like all the missions in Bastion are basically compartmentalized, or it's similar to like Mass Effect 2, where it's, you know, there's a very clear, here's the start of the mission, play it for 15 minutes, you beat the mission, then you return to your base or whatever.
Yeah, it's got a stage select.
Yeah. But the nice thing, I like the upgrade system of how after each storyline mission you complete, you get to choose what to build on the Bastion or the, you know, your home base or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty cool, just a game decision as far as letting you customize like your own base. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah. And I don't think that by making it, I haven't played far enough to say for sure. I don't think that by making a choice, you can like lock yourself out of anything.
Yeah,
like you, it's just the order that you want to get stuff in.
The only downside, however, is I feel that a lot of them aren't worth upgrading after a while. Or how far are you in the game, Cole?
I was just betrayed.
Okay. Okay.
Just recently betrayed.
So you had built everything on the Bastion?
Yes.
Had you started upgrading things on the Bastion?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So the upgrades the second time around. So for those of you who haven't played Bastion, just ignore this. But when you start upgrading the buildings, there's not much incentive either way, I felt. So I was kind of disappointed by that. But anyway. Overall, it's an enjoyable game to play just because it has a lot of charm to it. So we'll see if that holds up until the end. Mm-hmm. But
I hear that it does. I'm shocked like how often it gives you new toys too.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like almost every level they give you a new toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that all you've played from the bundle?
Well, okay, so then I'll get into some more. Tried to play Amnesia, and this kind of tells you where it's going. I had talked up Amnesia to some friends and was like, oh yeah, we should play it. Like, it's supposed to be really scary. We should, you know, play it and watch it. It'll be fun. And so we tried to do that. I downloaded it on my computer. It's like, it's a pretty sizable file. So it took about 2 hours to download maybe. Mm-hmm. And then to install took a little bit longer after that. But anyway, when we get it up and running, we hear like the opening monologue or whatever. Absolutely no visual to it. And so it's like, oh, well, that's not good. Go home, look at willitrun.com, immediately find out that I do not have the graphics card to play Amnesia Dark Descent. So that was a womp womp.
That's heartbreaking. God.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
No,
so,
because like before this, you were telling me like, oh yeah, I'm looking for your recommendation. I was going to say unequivocally Amnesia, yeah. Like, do yeah. that.
Yeah, I know, I know. And now this. So I think I will play this on my friend's computer on a Mac, and
yeah,
we will enjoy that game sometime later.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah. On another sad note, I was even looking to replay Hitman Blood Money, since I'd played that game once back when it first came out, like, I guess now it's getting on like 6 years ago. Fantastic game, but I'd only played through it like one time pretty quickly. I kind of wanted to explore it some more, but I found out that, A, it's not for PS3. There's no PS3 version of Hitman Blood Money.
Right.
And B, my laptop will not run it. So, yeah, a lot of sad news
that's,
in my life.
That's like the suckiest thing about PC gaming. I mean, it always has been, or it always will be, and it always will be the benefit of console games over everything else. With a few exceptions, there's no way to buy a game on a console that won't run on the console.
What are the exceptions?
Like, just it gets into like weird hard drive space. Kind of issues.
Okay.
Like, oh, this game requires an install and a hard drive, and if you don't have a system that has a hard drive, then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Womp, womp, womp. So yeah. That's I think is the key exception. But man, I don't know.
So
that just sucks.
Yeah, those have been my first world problems this week.
Yeah, so. No, just, I hate that. At least he didn't say white person problems. if it makes you sad, it makes you sad.
Yeah.
Let me see here. I want to see how long it took me to beat Amnesia. Let me see here. Amnesia's about, I'd say, like an 8-hour game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's manageable on a weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I went to buy Diablo 3. The lady at the big retail game establishment said, you know, you need to make sure before you open it that it can run. I was like, and I didn't want to be the guy who said like, I got it, you know, I'm good, you know, don't what do you think I am, you know, imbecile? It's like, because I know people who buy stuff who can't run. You're one of them. No, from a retail establishment. No. did you buy Hitman Blood Money?
I did not.
You did
no,
not. You just
I,
did a what?
I checked
what,
first.
Yeah. You checked first. Okay, cool.
Yeah, always check first.
Huh? Always check first. Yeah, that's too bad. I'm sorry. So like with Amnesia ruled out and kind of in this pantheon here. Well, with Lone Survivor on there, that might be a viable next option. I've only played a little bit of that, not enough to comment on it.
I have a question. Do I get Lone Survivor?
Yeah, I don't think that it's to unlock these four games. Oh, okay. Yeah. Blah blah blah. Let me see here with those four games. How did you put in above the above the average? Yeah. So you just go back to your original email.
Okay.
They probably should have sent you an update email, like saying like, hey, here are these more these other games. I got one.
Okay. But they might have, and I might have ignored it.
Yeah. So you can dive back in there and get those keys. So yeah, Lone Survivor might be a viable option for you.
Yeah.
I haven't played enough to say. Psychonauts is a fantastic game, but I don't know if I would recommend playing it without a controller. Playing it with a mouse and keyboard might be a little bit frustrating. But that's up to you to decide, honestly.
Okay.
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, I've only played it on my iPad, so I can't tell you how like it's going to work with a mouse and keyboard.
I started playing it and I had almost zero interest in playing it. So
okay. Yeah, it's a slow burn.
That's what I was going to ask you is it worth continuing or
it is. I mean, it might not live up to the hype, but it definitely the writing and the music carry it. If you think about it less as a game and more as like a piece of interactive art, for as douchey as that term is, your enjoyment of it will kind of like go up drastically, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. So yeah, try Lone Survivor and then Psychonauts. Let us know what you think there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's.
How does Bastion control with mouse and keyboard? By the way,
it's fine. Was that originally like an Xbox game?
Yeah, it came out. I think it was part of the Summer of Arcade.
Okay. Yeah. No. I I have a laptop with a trackpad, but I also have like a USB mouse, and so I had to break that out to play Bastion because otherwise it's pretty impossible. But with an auxiliary mouse, yeah, it's manageable.
So you just point the direction that you want him to aim.
As far as like hitting or killing stuff.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Okay.
Do you like control that reticle with the joystick, I guess, on the console, or
it's you can do it kind of like a twin stick kind of thing. Like you can move in one direction and then aim with the left stick and then aim in the other direction with the right stick, kind of like Geometry Wars or Dead Nation.
Yeah, okay, so the like the right stick, what you aim with, that just controls which direction he attacks in?
I think so.
Okay.
I might be thinking that wrong because I think you might attack you attack with the face buttons. So you move it around, it's kind of like Zelda to a certain extent. But you can aim with the right stick, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's been what I've been playing. Not a whole lot. But I mean, you know, what's out there? What console game can I play right now, Cole?
I don't know. Have you played Mass Effect 3?
I haven't. That should be what I should be playing, I suppose.
Yeah, somebody needs to beat that so we can talk about it. But
oh, yeah, because you're the only one who has so far.
among our clique, yes.
Yeah, our clique.
Or ColecoVision. Yeah, like among the four of us, I'm the only person who's beaten it.
But if I play it, that means I'm sacrificing the idea of a continuous story.
What do you mean?
Well, like I played the first one way back when. That Xbox got stolen. I played the second one and sacrificed then with a lack of continuity. I just, mm-hmm. dived in the story.
Yeah.
It was good. But now if I play this third one, I don't have any continuity, and that's kind of an issue because all my people survived in the second one. I was very proud of that.
See, let me look on here.
Because that's another thing is I know if I start fresh on the third one, I know some of my people are going to be dead because I'm pretty sure that's how they start you off.
Yeah, like it would assume that one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I will say, man, it's not the optimal way to do it, but if you get the PS3 version of Mass Effect 2, it's $20. Like, I think it's a greatest hits or whatever.
Start trekking through.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a good enough game. Like, I would replay it. Like, I've done it. I've played through it 3 times. So there's that. I mean, that's fine for me. But as far as like the first game, like if you want to make your decisions, like it has that little comic at the front of it that lets you, it walks you through the major choices. So if you remember like, oh, did Rex live? Oh, did I save the Rachni? You know, et cetera, et cetera. You can start out with an approximation of what your Shepard was.
That's true. I might do that then. I might do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you really are feeling the drought, you know, like Mass Effect 3 is one of the best games to come out in the past, 6 months.
Yeah.
And it probably is one of the better games to, that's going to be coming out here very fairly soon. Or at least for the foreseeable future, you've got the summer drought. That might be a way to go about it, I think.
Let's do like a short recap, because like the last good game I played was the last game I played, like Deus Ex. I thought that was a really good game. But before that, it wasn't until like Arkham City, kind of Uncharted 3, but that was also a
kind of a letdown.
It had a good parts, but it also had plenty of terrible parts. Mm-hmm. So really, like Arkham City and Deus Ex have been the good games that I played in the last like half year or so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit tricky. Gosh, there's always Dark Souls, man.
That's true.
I don't know if that's your jam. I don't know if you're.
I know. Yeah.
But you can get it used on the rainforest for like $14.99.
The rainforest, I like that.
Yeah. So I mean, it might be worth a splurge. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Yes, I do know. I can tell you personally that is my favorite game of the past 12 months.
Okay.
But that's just me. It might not be your bag.
Yeah.
Did you play any of it when you were living with David?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't even think I saw him play any of it either.
That's too bad.
I know. Weird, right?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, so I would say that. It's difficult. It's one of those things where like I'll say, like, man, there are no good movies coming out, but then it's like I want to see 5 movies that are coming out in the same week.
Do you see Prometheus already?
No, I have not.
Okay.
No.
Just wondering.
Yeah, I thought that was coming out like later, but it makes sense that it would have been a summer blockbuster. But I don't know.
Can this section be like game therapist section?
Game therapist? Like what do you mean? Like
me? I mean, you're like giving me counsel right now on what I should be playing.
Well, I'm just like trying to think. Like it's hard if you're put on the spot to like say like what was the best way you spent your time in the past game. Blah, blah. Like, yeah. Oh God, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Like I've been playing a lot of games for WoW. Like that's been taking up quite a bit of my time.
Yeah.
As regards generals. I don't even know if I could recommend, like, until I beat it, I don't know if I can recommend Silent Hill Downpour. I mean, obviously when I beat it, you're completely welcome to borrow it. That's fine. Saints Row the Third. I remember you really liked that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. Monopolized my time for several days.
Mm-hmm. Skyrim. There are parts of that you liked.
A lot of regret in that game. Let's not mention. Can we make a pact not to mention that I played Skyrim in the future? Is that okay? Can we bury this?
That's fine.
I mean, like later when I run for office, someone can dig it up and that's okay. But for now, let's just bury it.
I loved how evasive you were when I asked you how long you spent on it.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah.
Is it just that you don't want it to come to light or?
It's like, the high school videos you see of like, it's like the bulimia videos where like a woman like purges or something like that. Like me in Skyrim.
I'm not like,
there's just like a lot of like watches, shame.
Who makes videos of themselves purging?
There's like a lot of shame tied up with it and guilt. And
I think you're really just kind of overblowing it. That's hyperbole to the highest extent.
It wasn't a happy time in my life.
I don't know. I can't say anything because I haven't beaten it. So,
Oh, that's true. Well, you'll be disappointed. Maybe you'll know what I feel if you don't.
maybe you'll have some empathy, but we won't be able to talk about it. Like, I can't say, like, oh man, here's how awful.
That's true, because we're burying it right now.
we're burying it by repeatedly mentioning that Ben Burkle played Elder Scrolls for a very large amount of time. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, you just have to go back. I mean, Dark Souls. Like, if you're not gonna replay Mass Effect 2, which would be entirely worth your time, and then move on to Mass Effect 3, which may or may not be worth your time.
Are you waiting to like tell your judgment of it until somebody else plays it?
I've already said what I think of it. Like, okay. it's entirely there. I mean, it's all out there. Okay. But I mean, just, you might have a different opinion than I do. But
okay.
If I had Dark Souls on PS3, I'd lend it to you, but it's on my 360. So
That's all right.
No biggie. So, do you want to talk about what's on our mind?
Yeah, let's do like an E3 recap.
Okay.
I want to talk about some E3.
Okay, well, you're gonna have to take some initiative on it because I mean, as I mentioned at the beginning, I kind of stopped following stuff that came out of it.
I'll just run down the list, and I wanna pick your brain.
Okay,
see what you think about it. All right, so, and a lot of them probably. Well, you have a PS3 now, correct?
Yes, I do. And definitely, I think, like, as far as games go, Sony won the show.
Yeah, I would say so too. Unless you're a big Halo fan,
which is it's okay, you know, I guess.
That,
but
I mean, yeah, that seemed to be their only. I don't know.
As far as cool tech goes, like, Microsoft had it, like that glass thing was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as games and stuff go, yeah, not really.
Okay, God of War Ascension. What do you think?
I'm kind of nonplussed. I'm not a huge God of War fan anyway.
How many of them have you played?
I played through the majority of God of War 1, and I played through probably about the first third of God of War 3.
Okay. The first third of God of War 3, and you didn't enjoy it? You didn't like it?
I recognized what was good about it, but I just like the, as far as like the actual play in the game, I didn't quite enjoy it as much as I should. I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah. Just not for me. It's not for me. I'm not making a qualitative statement. I'm just saying, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, do you know? And this might have come to light. Where does Ascension fall into the into the timeline?
Prequel, before God of War 1. It's like the origins of Kratos.
Okay, even so. More so than the PSP ones.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where it falls within those, because I have not played those, so I don't even know where those are.
They put those out for the PS2. They have like the HD remakes of those.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I just always took them to be non-canonical, which this upcoming one kind of is too. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that collection is even called God of War Origins.
Yeah.
No. I think that the rebuilding mechanic is kind of neat. But our joke last week was, you know, Kratos destroys things. He doesn't construct things.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting take that they wanted to implement multiplayer in the game, because it's such a heavy single player game. You know, it's on the same level as like Uncharted as far as Uncharted's main story as far as how. Inclusive it is, you know, it's a single player experience, you know.
So they're trying to make a co-op?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure co-op's a pretty big part of the game.
Who would the second person play?
I have no idea.
Okay. No.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe I...
Yeah, I don't remember that detail about it, so I don't know.
Okay. Okay, all right. What about... Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
The dumbest name in the entire world. I'll probably play it because I love that series. To be honest, it's really, really difficult to watch any media of a Metal Gear game before it comes out, just because it's so not indicative of what the moment to moment is going to be. It's more about like what the style is, which that's chiefly the point of it. You know, I don't like that it's cyborg riding again, but
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching videos for Metal Gear Solid 4 and thinking, like, that looks silly. But then playing Metal Gear Solid 4 and being like, oh, this is pretty cool. So
the best thing about Cyborg Raiden was that, like, he was the character that you wanted to play in Metal Gear Solid 4, just like Solid Snake was the character you wanted to play in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're making him playable, and they moved the story so it's not an interquel between Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 4 again.
Yeah.
Like, that was the original plan, like, telling, like, how he got Sonny out of the, like, you know, out of the clutches of the Patriots. Like,
yeah.
Now it takes place after 4, which makes no sense, because he was de-cyborgized at the end of 4. Spoilers. It's a 5-year-old game. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't even remember that, because I must have not paid attention to the 2-hour video at the end of the game. There's so many characters at the end of that game, man. It is so hard to keep. All right, whatever. Anyway,
no, it's definitely on par with Return of the King.
And that's the ending of the game. It's 20 hours before that. At least. All right. Anyway, whatever. Okay. So, what about Resident Evil 6?
I think that it looks good. I think that it looks good.
Okay.
It was clear with 5 the direction that they were headed with the main line of the series, so I can't pretend to be outraged at how things happened and how they, you know, are making it into an action game. Like, clearly that's, you know, that's where they've been going. So, whatever, cool. The fact that it's co-op again, I don't know how I feel about that, just because that's inconvenient for somebody for everybody who wants to play it by themselves. And it's also weird from like an archive standpoint. You know, it's you're 10 years down the line, are the servers still going to be up? Are you still going to be able to play it the same way? I like that I can pull out Resident Evil 1 and play it as it was and exactly as I remembered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like there's something to be said for the feeling of isolation, especially in a zombie sort of video game. Like, I think that was one of the strongest things about Resident Evil 4 is you, from the get-go, you were on your own, you know? And I felt like that's such a strong feeling, and that would have been so diminished if, on the first level, you're waiting for someone else to join and then kind of run around the town and shoot zombies. And
yeah.
I mean, any co-op experience you have outside of Journey, like the other play, I mean, the seriousness of the story can be sacrificed by how the other person plays. You know, the other person can run up to you and knife you a bunch of times. You're immediately taken out of the story. You know what I mean? Like, if they wanted to make a game that was I guess they don't want to make a single player game. So I guess that's
here's the thing. Like, I like taking my time when I play a game, you know, like, especially like a Resident Evil or survival horror game. I don't want to feel like somebody else is waiting for me to check this corner over here or read this text on this note, or, you know, like, oh gosh, I can't figure out what this weapon does. Oh boy, I need to make this decision, but this other person's waiting for me. Like, I don't like co-op experiences because I feel pressure from the other person, even if it's not, you know, there, you know, there, even if that's not the case, that's still how it feels to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, there's something weird, because it's like, I feel like, what is it? The Xbox 360 game that's had 3 of them. Gears of War, excuse me. Mm-hmm. All right. So Gears of War, like, that's a fantastic co-op game.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know why there's such a big difference between, like, that and, like, Resident Evil 5, where it's like Gears of War, you want to play with another person. It's like, oh, yeah, this is a lot of fun. We can both take down these people. Great, you know? Mm-hmm. But then when you do the same thing with, like, a Resident Evil game, it's just like, no, I would rather this be a single-player experience. I'd rather do this on my own sort of thing.
Gears of War was designed to, like, it was designed for it. And it didn't have any legacy, you know, any legacy baggage to hold it back. Gears of War was a series of arenas full of waist-high walls, and that was all it needed to be, you know, to meet the expectations of the people who wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas Resident Evil has all this, you know, kind of these trappings that they have to adhere to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Yep. So Resident Evil 6, I'm gonna get it. It's weird that they bumped it up, but you know.
Yeah. Probably nope. Won't be as good as 4.
Next game.
Well.
Nah, what can be?
I don't know.
And if it was Resident Evil 4, but it was 20% shorter, it would have been better.
Wait, what do you mean? So did you not like the 5th chapter of Resident Evil 4?
Eventually, it just became too much. Like anything after the castle was too much, I thought.
Yeah, the people with the metal plates on their head, that was a little much. But you did get the gray monsters, one of the best like monsters.
Oh yeah, like the regenerators. Yeah, those were sweet. But
those were awesome.
But I didn't like the island, like the military island. That wasn't too great.
Yeah. Things did get ratcheted up with the ending.
That fight with Klauser or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, did you not like that?
No, I thought it was really dumb. I thought it was like the dumbest thing.
I really liked that boss fight because it was such an epic fight. Yeah. Like, because I mean, most of the time when you have a boss fight, usually it's in like one contained stage, right? But that was a boss fight where not only did it have at least like 3 different sections to it where you were in a fixed spot and had to fight him, but it was dynamic where like he would attack you from randomly generated positions, so it was a different fight every time. The setting was fantastic. Decaying Castle. I really enjoyed that fight.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because it was really difficult, and
It was.
If I need to do something more than 3 times, I tend to not like it.
Yeah.
So you know.
That's definitely a fight where you need to kind of lean into the challenge and enjoy that, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. I just didn't like how he had that shield, like his arm turned into that bat wing, like crustacean shield, and just you had to be super, super accurate with your magnum rounds to even like get past that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else?
Beyond Two Souls.
I think it looks amazing. I think that it looks pretty good from what I've seen of it. What I said last episode was that it's great that they got a professional actress to play the main character in that. The trailer that they showed, I haven't seen any gameplay, but the trailer that they showed was I think there was more acting in her sitting and standing still, her sitting still and staring at that guy than there was in the entirety of Heavy Rain.
Zing.
I just do. It's just one of the, that's how I feel. The acting was not one of the strong suits of that, of that. So they made a good choice by upping their talent and budget, just a little bit. I kind of like that they're splitting the difference between Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain. It appears like as far as tone goes, they're making more action based, more supernatural. But I want to know what you think. I mean, I think of all of us, you're the person who probably enjoyed Heavy Rain the most.
So as of yet, I am not sold on the story, or at least like, a girl with telepathy sort of powers, like, I am not interested in that yet. So perhaps as they reveal more of the story, I'll become more interested. But from the trailer, I thought it was kind of tacky, I guess. Or I wasn't on board yet. But again, that's just a first impression, so I'm sure that will change in the future. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. They made an enjoyable game with Heavy Rain. Haven't played Indigo Prophecies, but... Well, it'll probably be enjoyable, and I'll probably get it. This is probably my Resident Evil for you. I'm going to buy it no matter what, probably, so it doesn't matter. But I do agree, though, that having Ellen Page as the main actress is probably a good idea because, in the scene where she's being interrogated, pseudo-interrogated by a cop, there's so much better acting being done there because it's all in her emotion, all in her facial expressions.
Even with that, after playing LA Noir, it's really, really difficult to look at other facial animation.
Yeah.
Even for as good as that was, it still looked a little bit off sync. It was just close enough to being on that it looked bad.
Okay. With LA Noir?
To me. No, like LA Noir like did it. They nailed it, at least with the facial animation.
Yeah.
Which would like that was what that game was all about, was the faces.
With the exception of the ridiculousness when you had a pause.
Yeah.
And they just had a facial expression.
Like they went into a loop.
Parade.
Yeah. Yeah. That was your punishment for taking too long.
I guess so.
But this is my lying face over and over again. Yeah, so like it's hard. It's hard to see it. Like hopefully they'll polish it, you know, just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. With that, but still it was a good performance, I felt. And that,
I also did the same comparison in my mind when I watched the trailer, but I also thought that it wasn't too far behind L.A. Noire. Like yeah. it was not too far away.
The lighting was better in this. Like yes. like graphically, just the shaders and everything. Like the skin looked a little bit more realistic. So even if the expressions in the animation weren't there, like they did a good job of modeling what a human being would look like in those lighting conditions,
yeah.
Which is, you know, like L.A. Noire by kind of necessity of the way that they did, you know, of the genre and also of the, you know, of the technology that they were using. There's a lot of flat light, either flat light or, you know, like you never interrogated somebody and saw that detail in somebody's face in a situation where you could really get a shadow. Whereas yeah. with this, they can get a shadow on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that has to do with like because they kind of like rotoscoped it. I forget exactly how the technology goes, but like the reason that L.A. Noire is so big is because they actually filmed the people making their faces,
yeah.
To a certain extent they mapped the data over top of that video. So for every cutscene there's a movie file behind it, and in order for that technology to work, they had to be lit flat.
Yeah, isn't it the same technology that they used in Social Network when they projected the face on the twin?
Oh, they did the rowing twins. I forget. Like, is that a thing? I remember that being a huge deal.
Yeah, I think it's like the same sort of technology because or at least for videos on both of them, you have people sitting in a sphere of cameras and right. lights. So, yeah.
I don't know. Beyond, it looks great. I mean, that was my favorite thing that I saw. With Last of Us being kind of the second favorite.
Okay. Yeah, I have not seen anything about. Well, outside of the teaser trailer, I have not seen the full Last of Us trailer yet.
Yeah, I went back and I watched on the Something Awful forums on the video games podcast mega thread. They were talking about like how embarrassing it was when they made the reveal for The Last of Us. Because people were cheering for brutal murder, and it was like really, really like against tone.
What do you mean?
So like, they were doing a gameplay demo, and I went back and watched it, and just, you know, there's the scene where like what the game is trying to convey is like this is a man who is, you know, like brought to brutally murder somebody with basically his bare hands, you know, in order to survive, and it's supposed to be this, you know, awful thing, and you have a bunch of people like cheering out like, yeah, woo, what up, whoa,
kill him, yeah.
Yeah, and people in the thread, they were talking about how gross it was that apparently all of these game professionals, you know, are they didn't pick up the cue that they were that this isn't something you're supposed to cheer.
Okay. Yeah. What the only thing I had heard about it was that it looked a lot like Uncharted in the sense that the main character just does a lot of climbing and then covering and shooting.
Yeah.
Did you pick that up or?
Kind of. I mean, it makes sense because of who the developer is. I think that they're trying to de-emphasize the shooting aspect of it though, which is nice.
Amp up the climbing of it.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's because, I mean, that's one thing that I feel like they should have dropped with that they should have left behind with Uncharted. It's like climbing was dynamic when they first came out with Uncharted. And even mm-hmm. with Uncharted 2, it was still like a fresh concept, but like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's a novelty and it's worn off by now. Yeah. And it's like, how many more ways can you shoehorn climbing into storylines, you know, like, oh, I need to get over there. I'm going to climb over there. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's just me.
Yeah. But what else? What else you got for me?
Those were the big ones. What else was there? What else do you have for me?
I don't know. You haven't played Dead Space, so you can't react to the Dead Space 3 reveal.
Yeah, I only played the first one. I had not played the second one.
Yeah, they're making a co-op, and they're also putting an emphasis on really, really big necromorphs, kind of like Lost Planet 2, just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think it looks neat. I mean, it's it continues kind of in the direction that the two went, where it's less about suspense and more about balls to the wall action. I don't know. There just wasn't that much. It's just really difficult to like get jazzed. I mean, Nintendo's thing looks neat, I guess, but it's hard to feel too terribly enthusiastic
about a product called Wii U.
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I was bullish on it last year, and I still think that it's going to, you know, there's going to be worthwhile stuff on it because it's Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the risk of sounding like a fanboy, you know, there's going to be a Zelda game or a Mario game on that you know somebody's going to want to play.
Yeah.
Probably more than likely me. Yeah. I just don't think that it just like the fact that they didn't announce a price is really, really disturbing to me.
Okay. If why so?
I don't know. I think that if it's over 300, then it's not going to do well.
Yeah.
That is the point where I myself would question buying it. Mm-hmm. And definitely if they're going to be looking to try and trick the same people into buying the Wii U as they did by, you know, who bought the original Wii, they're going to be going after a very price sensitive market.
So were you surprised that no new consoles were announced from the Xbox and PS3 camp?
Yes, I was. Kind of say I'm disappointed. Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay.
I expected something. I expected there to be, you know, some kind of inkling. And as a result, you know, this everything here kind of felt like they were punting.
Okay.
To a certain extent. I mean, if there was anything more interesting to talk about, would Sony have done that My Book thing or the Magic Book?
Yeah.
It almost felt like they were scrambling to fill up the time. And
yeah.
That's, you know, too bad. And really they're giving Nintendo a big chance to get a big, you know, to get a lead with the Wii U, which may or may not matter. See the Dreamcast, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is a catch up for Nintendo. That's about 6 years behind. So
going to HD consoles.
Yeah.
And selling a bunch of these games a year later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't see that as a great move for Nintendo camp, you know?
What do you mean? They eventually had to go HD.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but I feel like they should try and catch up with what the next generation console would be.
I suppose. I mean, it was a gamble that paid off because they were able to manufacture them at scale and not, you know, I forget, don't quote me on this because I'm sure it's a really, really easy thing to Google. I think that the Wii was the first console in a long time that wasn't sold at a loss at the start.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean for them to lowball the components and keep their costs low, that's kind of just smart because they're going after, you know, people who traditionally don't care about graphics anyway. Or can tolerate poorer graphics. And you know, even if they put out something that's as powerful as the PlayStation 3, that's still pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I think that then you know the next console generation isn't going to be defined by how much different things look, how much better they look. It's going to be defined by, you know, the different things that the system can do. You mm-hmm. know, not just can this play Amazon Prime Video, but more like what's the online model. Because like you could argue that the Xbox 360 wasn't anything special, but that version of Xbox Live that came out with it was what was special about the 360. You know?
Yeah.
You could make that argument, and I would, but that's just me. I'm a special. I'm a different dude. I don't know. Were you disappointed that there wasn't any you know, hardware?
I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have announced new consoles, but I don't know, whatever. They might need another. I don't mind that they didn't announce consoles because that means that there's going to be another year of more quality games coming out. That means their focus is on the current console, which is kind of nice. One game I did forget to mention. Did you hear anything about Watch Dogs?
I did. I know that it's Grand Theft Auto-esque.
Yeah, in Chicago.
That's cool.
Maybe I'll send you a link to it.
Yeah, it's just it kind of slipped under my radar, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I had read that it had kind of done that to a lot of people. I'll send you a link to the demo. But yeah, no, it takes place in Chicago. Part of the storyline that's a little bit weak is you play a disgruntled hacker, and so that gives you the liberties to hack anything in, that you see, like, on the street. And so, like, the idea is that you can do things like you can hack traffic lights, you can hack cell phone calls, and all of this is under the pretense that there's this that the government in the past set up this grand unified computer security system across America. Okay. And so that there's kind of – it's kind of like Big Brother-esque where there's security cameras everywhere and things like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you use that to your advantage in that you can kind of manipulate all these things to meet, you know, whatever objectives you're trying to do.
Right. So you can hack a car or you can hack anything.
Yeah. The nice thing about it is it seems kind of like Deus Ex and just the abilities that you can manipulate your environment. I watched they have a trailer, they have like a 10-minute demo of it, of a couple of the different missions that you can try. And it looks pretty interesting. It seems like it falls in the sort of line as like Deus Ex or Hitman, where it's like you have some sort of objective and you're trying to stealth your way in. And in this case, hacking is the motif instead of cybernetic implants or, I don't know, in Hitman, I don't know, killing people quietly or whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. It looks like a pretty, pretty interesting game. The graphics look pretty outstanding. The way that they rendered Chicago is pretty impressive of what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I remember Dennis saying like he oh, that's not a cutscene, like they just popped up a mini map. Holy crap!
Yeah,
yeah. No, I remember Dennis saying like he recognized areas like actual streets in Chicago. Wow, I'm impressed at like the amount of detail that's on the screen. There's a little bit of pop in, but this is early. Wow, and then it's a cyberpunk thing, but it's not like dystopic.
Yeah,
so it's not like distant future, like Neuromancer or Snow Crash kind of thing. Like this,
It's like a fictional version of today if something happened 3 years ago.
Right. So that's really cool. I'm intrigued by the wow. Look how many people are on that screen. Holy crap! Look at his coat too, like his trench coat, like the
I know,
like the belt as he straight walks.
Yeah, that's what reminded me a lot of Deus Ex, is just the appearance of the main character looking really cool.
Yeah, no, but he definitely does look pretty great.
Yeah,
everything here does. Wow, and I mean, this might be two great tastes that taste great together. I'm not sure. I'm not too crazy about open world games or stealth games, but maybe I like the idea of the two of them being mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't realize how stealth oriented this was.
Yeah. I mean, it appears to be stealth oriented, but I don't know what the sort of repercussions are if you, instead of trying to sneak in, kill everyone and like, I don't know what they have to safeguard against that.
Right.
Outside of maybe not giving you a gun. But one thing that's really interesting too, one thing I thought that was really cool, the gameplay video that they show of it, you go into this like art show and it's in an actual theater that's in Chicago. I forget what the name of the theater is. But anyway, when you go in there, this is kind of like a sci-fi version of the future. One of the bartenders is this robot. And it has a cube.
Yep, I just saw him, and it just has like an LED lights drink ?
It has that, and then did you see it had a QR code before that?
No, I didn't. It just looked like pixels. But
okay, if you go back again, when he walks into this art show, yeah, there's a robot. Before it says drink with a ? There's a QR code.
Uh
huh. And so if you scan that, I scanned that with my cell phone, and it takes you to a website that's promoting this art show that's in the game. That's like an actual website. And on the website you can sign up for like getting emails for when tickets go on sale or whatever, which is like their mailing list for the game. You know?
Yeah.
So far I'm pretty impressed by it, by their attention to detail.
This looks really cool. Wow. I feel like I've been done a disservice by not like checking this out
sooner.
So. Wow. Thank you for drawing that to my attention. We're going to put this link up in the show notes, because I think that this deserves to have attention brought to it. Wow.
Watch Dogs. And I mean, from my perspective, this is probably goodbye since I just played it, but I feel like it seems a lot like Deus Ex, but you're a hacker instead of a cyborg.
You know what? It makes perfect sense that they do crowd stuff really well. This is Ubisoft.
Yep.
So this
is coming off of Assassin's Creed. Right?
Yeah. So they're probably using a lot of that same tech.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Neato. Yeah. I like that. He's going to scan somebody, and the fact was, teaches Krav Maga, so he decides not to fight him. That's cool. Wow, I need to stop, because this is distracting me. But yeah, suffice to say, that might be my new game of show. I don't know.
Yeah, I heard some other people review and say that was a really promising game. So yeah,
that's really cool.
There was one other game, it was like Soundscape or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's supposed to be a fun game at E3. I don't know what the name of it is, so you can just cut that entire last two sentences out. but also one game that we haven't talked about, Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
I think it looks really cool. I like the wilderness aspect of it. You know, I didn't much care for the Patriot, but it kind of reminds me of that just a little bit. Insofar as like brutal stealth combat and like the woods of, you know, the American Northwest. I'm glad that they didn't try and do a modern day Assassin's Creed, like as far as their mythology goes, taking it to the American Revolution to wrap things up is really, I think that's a smart way for them to do that.
Okay. And so is this the last chapter of the Assassin's Creed story?
They've said that it's going to be a trilogy. I don't know if they're going to take this new character, and do like the Brotherhood Revelations thing.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
Maybe not. That would feel kind of like a cop out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
But you think do you think this will be the last setting then, at least?
I don't know. There's so many other settings that I'd really like to see them do.
Like, I know. Yeah.
Like, I'd like to see them do feudal Japan. I'd really love to see them do Russia in the 1920s.
Okay.
You know, like going around St. Petersburg during the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, like that would be really sweet, I think. You know, there's a lot of like really, really interesting architectural places that, you know, that they could go, you know, directions that they could, you know, they could take this. Britain during the, you know, during the siege in World War II. You know?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That'd be cool.
So that, you know,
Certainly seem like a missed opportunity if they do stop at the American Revolution and don't, you know, yeah. I mean, they don't necessarily have to go present day. I mean, that would be cool, but, yeah, it does seem like that would be a missed opportunity if they don't.
I don't know.
It might be, yeah.
I don't want to spend 10 minutes climbing a skyscraper.
But well, here's the deal though, is I feel like they need to unite the present day story and like the past story. I feel like those two need to converge, you know, for there to be some closure.
Maybe. Because the entire point is that Desmond is going back through his genetic history to find the answers about where the pieces of Eden are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that they brought it, you know, the where things end up is, you know, they're in the American Northeast at the end of Revelations.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. That's where they were headed. I think that at the end of Brotherhood, they said like, hey, we're gonna have to go, you know, to upstate New York or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like trying to find the last piece of Eden, which is supposedly hidden there. So like it would make sense that, you know, if this guy was the last step in that genetic memory to where like he finds the, you know, the last piece, then that would make sense. I think that would be the convergence.
Okay.
But if they go much more modern, then they're going to have to rely more on guns, and guns are not what that you know, that that engine does well.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Last game I want to bring up about E3. I don't know if they display this a lot at E3 or not, but Hitman Absolution.
I think that it looks really cool. I've only seen a couple of trailers for it, and I don't think any of them have been gameplay trailers. Yeah, maybe one of them was a gameplay trailer. It looks really neat. I've never had the patience for a Hitman game in the past. You have, okay. Though. Yes. So I would probably buy your opinion on it more.
Yeah, I think you have to just play it in the right circumstances. You need to play Hitman with another person, I feel like, because or at least the way that I've played that game for 2, 3, and 4 – That has worked out really well, is playing it with one other person. And the idea is you give it a go at the level, you probably won't live or you'll probably mess up somewhere, and then you just pass it off to the next person. And they try and improve upon what you've done, and then you spend around just watching what they do and say, oh, well, maybe I should do this. And then you play the next round and then try and do, you know. And, like, that back and forth, I feel like, makes the game a whole lot more fun.
Yeah, because there's stuff that you don't notice if you're just staring down the barrel of the gun. If you're just watching the screen while somebody else does something, you may see another route.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's not like you trying to do the same thing over and over again and perfecting a method. You know, it's what's great about that game is there's so many solutions to the same problem. Mm-hmm. There's usually only one, like, perfect solution, but you don't worry about that the first time you're playing a level. Like, you're just trying to beat the level successfully. And to do that, there's multiple answers. And that's what's really great about that game.
Mm-hmm.
They do a good job of their making like 3 or 4 different ways to successfully kill a person and leave.
Yeah.
So
do you think that, like, from what you've seen of the gameplay, does this kind of echo that? Because I know that they're at least taking it. It looks like there's a lot more gunplay in this.
Yeah, that it's more of a first-person shooter. I mean, I hope they still pay homage to the stealth aspect of the game. Because I know with Blood Money, you know, throughout from 2, 3 to Blood Money, they have made it easier and easier to kill people with guns at any given time, mm-hmm. which is fine. It's nice. But they have also remained true to there being a stealth way with each level, you know?
Yeah.
And even though they haven't demanded that you play stealthfully through it, they've, you know, the game is set up to be played is set up to play stealthily. So each of the levels is designed so that you get the maximum amount of enjoyment by trying to sneak through the level as opposed to shooting through the level.
Right, right.
With the exception of 1 or 2. Yeah. But anyway, so I hope they hold true to that and not make it a first-person shooter.
God,
because
if they
do make it a first-person shooter, then I feel like that's going to be a huge backpedal for the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Even so much so, with the most recent game, Blood Money, one thing that they added to that is they added this thing where you would get a bonus if you left the level wearing the suit that you started out with. Because at any point in time, if you like knock somebody out or if there's like a body on the floor, you can change clothes with that person. You can dress in their clothes.
Uh-huh.
And so before the latest game, it was kind of like random. You could leave as a Russian or you could leave as a police officer. You could leave as whatever. And the ending cutscene would match whatever you were wearing when you left. But that was with the most recent game. That was the first time that they made an emphasis as there's a way that you can play through this game not killing anybody except for the target and leaving with the suit that you started out with.
Yeah, so just kind of like taking disguises off the table.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully they still remain true to the stealth aspect. If they do, I think it'll be a great game.
It looks pretty, though. It looks really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only gameplay footage I've seen is the one where he's in a library and there's, like, police officers.
Yeah, yeah. Around. So that's the one that I've seen.
Okay, yeah. It did look very good, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's all for E3 for now. I guess Bioshock Infinite got pushed back, so...
Yeah, that's disappointing.
We'll talk about that in February. I don't think it's disappointing. I don't think it was pushed back for a bad reason. I think
I know, but... It's kind of like Portal 2 when they pushed that back by like 6 months or so. It was like, I understand. I forget, it was Shigeru Miyamoto who said, a delay lasts a couple months, a bad game lasts forever. Yeah. So if they needed to do it, they needed to do it. But still, like that was like one of the big games I was looking forward to playing in the second half of this year.
Yeah.
So.
But then look, Portal 2 was game of the year for last year. Yeah. So.
That was episode number 155 of Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This, a podcast about, you guessed it, video games. So what can you do? What can you do? You can check out duckfeed.tv/don'ttreeriddle. There you can find all of our old episodes. You can do a search, see if we talked about any games that you like or don't like. You figure out what our opinion was. You can also, from there, link to the iTunes listing. Subscribe to us there. Download us, ratings, reviews, that whole spiel. You can follow the network, Duckfeed TV. On Twitter, there you can see like all of the whenever a new episode drops or there's a discussion prompt. We're trying to get that up as an avenue to talk to you. And you can go to facebook.com/don'ttreeriddle, where you can talk to us there. We just had somebody like us here, which is pretty cool. Is there anything that I'm missing?
I think that's probably about it.
Cool. So you can follow me on Twitter at Cole Ross. That's KOLERoss.
And you can follow me at Merkelizer, MERKELIZER.
Yeah. And you're going to be due for another toot around Thanksgiving time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
cool.
So hold your bated breath.
Don't hold your breath till then. We don't advise that. I'm not responsible for that. So, for DTR, this has been Cole Ross.
Ben Merkel.
And, still nurse those wounds from a bad E3.